Scripture reading for this evening you can find in the Revelation of John, chapter 10. Revelation, chapter 10, beginning with verse 1. And I saw another mighty angel come down from heaven, clothed with a cloud, and a rainbow was upon his head. And his face was, as it were, the sun, and his feet as pillars of fire. And he had in his hand a little book open, and he set his right foot upon the sea, and his left foot on the earth, and cried with a loud voice, as when a lion roareth. And when he had cried, seven thunders uttered their voices. And when the seven thunders had uttered their voices, I was about to write, and I heard a voice from heaven saying unto me, seal up those things which the seven thunders uttered, and write them not. And the angel which I saw stand upon the sea and upon the earth lifted up his hand to heaven, and swear by him that liveth forever and ever, who created heaven and the things that therein are, and the earth and the things that therein are, and the sea and the things which are therein, that there should be time no longer. But in the days of the voice of the seventh angel, when he shall begin to sound, the mystery of God shall be finished, as he hath declared to his servants the prophets. And the voice which I heard from heaven spake unto me again and said, go and take the little book which is open in the hand of the angel which standeth upon the sea and upon the land. And I went unto the angel and said unto him, give me the little book. And he said unto me, take it and eat it up, and it shall make thy belly bitter, but it shall be in thy mouth sweet as honey. And I took the little book out of the angel's hand and ate it up, and it was in my mouth sweet as honey. And as soon as I had eaten it, my belly was bitter. And he said unto me, thou must prophesy again before many peoples and nations and tongues and kings. Here ends the reading of God's word.
Dear congregation, we continue the explanation of the book of Revelation in chapter 10 tonight. Dear congregation, what was the most happy moment in your life? Try to bring it back in your remembrance. When you belong to Christ, it was the time that you saw him, that you enjoyed his forgiving love, and that your heart was filled with his wonderful peace, when there was nothing between you and God. Peace. My peace I give unto you. My peace I leave you, not as the world give it. I give it to you. It's a gift. It's a gift out of his fullness, flowing from the cross by the Holy Spirit in your heart. And when you saw Christ with the eyes of your faith, you have the desire to see him again and again. You cannot be satisfied with anybody else. And you understand what the psalmist is singing. Thou art fairer than the children of men. And you understand the bride in Solomon's song, let he kiss me with the kisses of his mouth. Often times of tribulation are the most blessed times in the lives of the Lord's people. You see it here in the life of the Apostle John, in exile on Patmos. What maybe he never expected that he should have there, in prison, separated from all his beloved ones, that he should have there the most happy moments, the most wonderful revelations of the beauty of Christ, there, in the time of tribulation. In the world ye shall have tribulation. That's what the Lord promised his people. We can expect that. And the more we are active in his kingdom, the more we are used and blessed for the extending of his kingdom, the more we can expect tribulation. For the enemies of our soul shall never be silent. Here we come in a special part. You remember that we are in the opening of the seventh seal, the last one. The Lord Jesus is the only one who is worthy to open the book sealed with seven seals, containing the whole counsel of God, all his works, all what has to happen. He opens it. For who? For you? For us? And we are hungry to know it, to hear it, to understand it. We know in part. And because we know in part, we want to know more till we know in perfection, when we are with Christ in his throne. That's the future for all the Lord's people. And you remember that the seventh seal was divided, that the apostles saw seven angels sounding a trumpet. And with the sounding of every trumpet, another part of the history of world and church was opened. All seen out of the counsel of God, the sight of the Lord. That makes a big difference at whose side we are. Are we at the side of the devil? Then we are in darkness, we see nothing. But are we by grace at the side of Christ, and it's living in our heart, sent forth thy life, thy light, and thy truth, the Lord is fulfilling our wish. He sends his light, he sends his truth, and he reveals it to his children, the things which are hidden for the wise and prudent, and revealed to the babes. And now we are in the second sound. The trumpet sounds, not the seventh, not the last one, but the sixth one of the seventh seal, the last seal, the last part of God's revelation, of God's history. And we are now in the sixth seal. And there the apostle sees wonderful things. And I saw, so personally, let it be our prayer that we, everybody of us, may see. For nobody can see with the eyes of other ones. We need eyes enlightened by the Holy Spirit. And that's what we feel when we know grace, that we are so dependent, that we cannot make any revelation by ourselves, that we depend on the Lord only. Well, the Lord shows us that we know, that we see, and that's a great blessing. And our eyes are open, the eyes of our soul, and that we see. And I, the Apostle John, in exile on the Isle of Patmos, I saw. And what did he see? Let it be our prayer that we may see it, what he saw, that we may understand it by the Holy Spirit in our hearts, that we may be filled with it, what he saw, for he became filled with it. It was such a wonderful sight, so amazing, soul filling his soul. It was a foretaste of eternal glory. He saw the King in his beauty. And I saw another mighty angel come down from heaven. And it's clear that that mighty angel is the angel, that it's Christ himself glorified. Come down from heaven, revealing himself to and in his church. That happens here. And our hearts are opened, and our eyes are opened, and we really see this holy angel. Everybody personally, but the fullness of the glory of this angel, our body cannot bear. We are too weak. In another part we read, when I saw him, I feel at his feet as dead, no life in him. And he laid his right hand on me. And he said, I was dead, and I'm alive. And so he was recovered, strengthened by the right hand of his Savior. We don't read that here so much, that he fell as dead at his feet. He wasn't able to see the angel. He received the strength to see him. There is difference in measure. Every revelation from heaven is such a wonderful blessing. Every time when the Lord gives light and truth, and when we see the beauty of Christ, is unforgettable. But there is difference in measure. It's exceptional. It can happen. I heard it and read it more than once in the life of the Lord's people, that their body was too weak to bear such a glory, to have such a love. But there can be also times that you can bear it. And yet it is sweet. I remember that I once had a service that my soul was filled with the love and the beauty of Christ, and I couldn't continue. I had to stop, and there was a silence in the church for several minutes. It was not possible to go on. And when I had a night service the same day, There came such an overwhelming love of the Lord back again. And I asked the Lord, "Oh Lord, give me the strength to preach, to serve thee." And I never forget that the night service was maybe better, if possible, than the afternoon service. The Lord gave the grace to see him, to enjoy his nearness in a special way, and yet I was enabled to preach him, not overwhelmed by emotion, but in a calm, restful way. And yet I never forget, never, that Sunday. I hope that you, by grace, may have in your life that high points, that your eyes saw the King, that you enjoyed his nearness as a wonderful, sweet reality. It's so beautiful when Christ is revealed in us. The Apostle Paul, he says, "It pleased the Lord to reveal Christ in me the first time, and more, when our eyes, the eyes of our soul are opened for his glory. He comes down from heaven." And that's a revelation who the Lord Jesus is coming down. All the world is developing to the time, that moment. Behold, he comes with the clouds. He's coming down. He's coming soon. We can hear his footsteps in the earthquakes, in the iniquity which multiplies, in the nations who assemble against the Lord, united nations, all against the Lord. He's coming down. He, the angel, the mighty angel, clothed with a cloud, so that John could see and bear his glory. The cloud is more than once mentioned in God's word. For when the disciples were looking to the Lord Jesus, when he ascended to heaven, a cloud took their sight away. There came a cloud between him and them. They couldn't see him any longer. And then came the angel. "Behold, he comes with the clouds." And now the Lord Jesus, the fullness of his glory, is clouded. Otherwise, the apostle couldn't bear it. Otherwise, he should die at the moment. But now he could. And he knows him. It's clear for him. Clothed with a cloud, and a rainbow was upon his head. And you, my dear children, I'm glad you are here. You know that a rainbow was a sign of the covenant of God, that he never should destroy the world by water, but that he should come to judge the world and should destroy the world by fire. So in the rainbow, we see the promise of God, the faithfulness of God, but also his coming to judge. For the end of this world is coming very soon. And his face was, as it were, the sun. So full of brightness, so full of light, so full of glory. And yet John was allowed to see his face. So beautiful, so eternal, wonderful. I think when the children of God come at home in heaven, and they see the full beauty of the Savior, that they never can turn their face from Him. When we see here a small part of His beauty, we wish that it stays, that we can keep it. We cannot. It are often short but unforgettable moments. Here is it time, but there is no time. We heard it already, that the Lord Jesus Himself swore that shall be no time. He saw His face as the sun in His brightness and glory. And who can see the sun? He saw the Son of Righteousness. And He saw His feet as pillars of fire. Pillars of fire. And He had in His hand a little book open. His hand, His face, His feet, that's what He saw. He had a little book in His hand, and He set His right foot upon the sea and His left foot upon the earth. So big, so mighty, so all-fulfilling. His right foot on the sea, His left foot on the earth. Pillars of fire, burning. Judgment. Our God is a burning fire, is a consuming fire. So He saw Him. That's a warning. For that's what we know and must know and realize. When our Lord Jesus is coming, He comes to punish, to judge. He comes as a God who is a consuming fire. When He came as a little baby, as the love, the gift of love of the Father, He came to seek, to save what is lost. And He is still seeking and saving what is lost. He is offering Himself. He is crying. He is warning, come unto Me. Turn to Me, all ye ends of the earth. His arms are stretched out. But who has believed our preaching? Who? You? I hope so. That you all may see this King in His beauty. That you all may love Him, all may know Him, all belong to Him. You cannot miss Him. For that's the warning. What the apostle sees here is Christ, His face as the sun. For many people shall pray who never really prayed here. Mountains fall upon us. Hills cover us. For the face of whom is sitting on the throne. His face, so terrible for the godless, so beautiful for the godly, so beautiful. Nobody has a more beautiful face than Christ. For in Him dwells all the Godhead physically. All the full attributes of God are shining in Him, through Him. Blessed are the pure of heart. They shall see God. They shall see God in Christ, in his face, in his countenance, that when we are in eternity, we can never stop looking unto Jesus. Our work, one of our big parts of the work of salvation, shall be looking unto Jesus, his full beauty, his full divine glory, the Sun of righteousness shining in all his brightness, but his feet as pillars of iron on the sea, on the earth. That's the other side. That's what's revealed to the apostle and to us. And he cried with a loud voice, as when a lion roareth. And a lion is a very cruel and dangerous animal. But a lion is also a very strong animal. It's the king of the animals. I once read that in the forests of Africa, and the lion is roaring, whole nature becomes silent. There comes a fear when the king of the animals is roaring. And so the angel Christ in his glory cries as a lion roareth. And also that is a very strong message, that he comes to conquer his enemies, that he comes to punish all iniquity, that he shall have the victory upon all the powers of devil, sin, and world. I have overcome the world and the prince of this world. It's the lion, it's here, not the lamb. Now the lamb is preached to us in his meekness. The last weeks, you remember, isn't it? Come unto me, all you labor are heavy laden. For I am meek and lowly in heart. Take my yoke upon you, and you shall find rest for your soul. Precious words, beautiful words, gospel words, and we have the privilege to hear them. The wonderful, loving invitation of the Savior to sinners. That's now. That's also tonight. But there comes another time that Christ is crying as a lion is roaring. That he announced his coming to judge. That the books are opened. And that all his enemies shall be trembled under his feet, pillars of fire. That's the message. Nobody can escape in that day. And when he had cried, seven thunders uttered their voices. Seven, the holy number, the divine number, the fullness of God's judgments. For the thunder is a sign of his holiness, is an expression of his judgments, which are surely coming. Seven. And what's the message of that voice, is that seven thunders? And when the seven thunders had uttered their voices, I was about to write. The apostle is so hungry. He wants to know it, the meaning of the word. He's waiting, ready to write it and to share it with the church of all ages. That's a good feeling. That's the unity of the church. That's the working of the Holy Spirit. we are so hungry to know it, the Word, to go deep in it, to understand it by the Holy Spirit. The natural man doesn't understand the things of the Spirit, but a spiritual man, he is understanding, and his soul is hungry, and he's waiting on the Lord. We need his teaching. We know nothing of ourselves. We cannot make anything. We are dependent totally, and yet by grace, so hungry, so reading the Word, so growing in grace and the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. That's a wonderful good feeling in which the whole church of all ages is united. We want to know. We know in part. We know so little. We want to know more. We have never enough. And the more we know, the more we see how little we know. And the more is revealed to us, the more we are aware it is such a small part of eternal glory. What shall it be to know in fullness, to know in perfection? And that's the desire of the new heart, to know more. And so he is waiting. He wants to write, and he wants to share it, to write it down, so that other people can read it, so that he can be blessed and be a blessing for other people. And that's a wonderful feeling too, isn't it? Well, the Lord reveals us that it may be used for the blessing of others, for all the members of the body of Christ has not the same gifts and not always the same revelation. They have by grace all the same love, though there is difference in measure. But it's the same love, it's the same Spirit, it's the same hunger. And by the love we won't share, not only for ourselves do we receive revelations. When the Lord is good for our soul, and when he shows us things which are hidden, when we discover things in the Word, when we are so hungry, searching, and asking, O Lord, show me thy way, open thy Word, and the Lord does it, then we must share it to the benefit of all the other members of the body of Christ. It's so beautiful, explained in our catechism. And I heard a voice from heaven saying unto me, seal up those things which the seven thunders uttered, and write them not. There comes a voice from heaven. There comes a voice from the Lord. There comes a command of the Lord. And that's enough. Not asking why. Never ask the Lord why. But believe and realize that his command is perfect. And that his command only asks obedience, acceptation, the acknowledgement of what the Lord is saying, what the Lord is commanding. That's perfect. That attitude, that feeling in your heart, that's a fruit of grace. By nature, we want often to know more than the Lord pleased to reveal us. But by grace, we are satisfied with what the Lord is willing to reveal us. Not to go farther, but to be the pupil, dependent only. There can be so many questions coming up in us. Why does the Lord permit this? Why does the Lord not hinder that? Why? Stop why? Don't try to be wise, wiser than the Lord permits you. That's proud. That's sin. And therefore, it's so beautiful that the apostle, he is obedient. Write them not. And he does not. He doesn't ask, Lord, why not? I want to know it. No, you need not to know it. There are a lot of things which stay hidden, which shall be revealed at the Lord's time, which shall be revealed in eternity. And the Lord's time is the best time. There are things which cannot be explained now. And the angel which I saw stand upon the sea and upon the earth lifted up his hand to heaven. What an impressing sight. The angel, his right feet on the sea, his left feet on the earth, pillars as fire, his face shining as the sun. The mighty angel, Christ in the revelation of his full glory, and then swearing, he is swearing. And when he is swearing, what follows is so important. And swear by him that lives forever and ever. Swear by the eternal one. Eternal truth. Let it deep enter into your heart. What he is swearing is so eternal true. It must have a deep impression in your heart and life. It must fill us. It must change us. It's his oath. And he swears by him that lives forever and ever, who created heaven and the things that therein are, and the earth and the things that therein are, and the sea, and the things which therein are. He swears with the almighty creator of heaven and earth, who fills heaven and earth with his glory. And what is his oath? Listen. That there should be time no longer. That's the revelation. By nature, we think we have time enough. Dear children, you think we are young. We are 10, 11 years. And I have maybe 70 years to live still. And that's such a long time. It's not true, children. It's not true. How many children died in the earthquake in Haiti? How many children? I once visited the Holocaust Museum in Jerusalem, Yad Vashem. And one of the most impressive things there is the entrance. Then you come in a kind of sky and you see a million lights. And every moment one light goes out. And then on a tape recorder a name is mentioned of a child which has been killed in the Holocaust. 1 million children killed in the Second World War. Only Jewish children 1/6 of the number were children. And they thought, we have time enough? No time. They had no time. There shall be no time. My young people, you think, I'm 16, I'm 18, I'm young. Pastor, why are you always warning me so much? I cannot enjoy my young life. I want to have my pleasure. I'm only one time young. I understand very well, my young people. I had the same idea till the Lord turned my eyes, my life, and opened my eyes. I have to die. I cannot stand before God. I need Christ. Then you have no time. Then you have eternity. There should be no time. People are always deceived by the devil. He says you have time enough to seek the Lord. Later on, not now. You have time enough to be converted. And you have no time for the service of the Lord. You are busy. You have your studies. You have your business. You have this. You have no time, says the devil. No time to pray so long. No time. And so the world is deceived. And their time, which they have, they spoil and waste it. Nothing is for us so precious as our time. Time never comes back. Lost time you cannot gain. Lost money you can. Lost treasures, you can may gain them in you. But time is gone. Time only comes back when the Lord Jesus comes down from heaven and our lifetime is opened in the books. How endless terrible when in our life book should be written, no time, I had no time to seek the Lord. Now it is the time. Now it is the time of salvation. Now. Today. And therefore it's a blessing that we are here together and that we hear it and let it give a deep impression in the souls of each of us that we use our time, that we not spoil and waste our time, but that we shall be ready for the time that there is no time. In hell is no time. There is eternity. And one of the most terrible things in hell shall be this word, too late. I wasted my time. I spoiled my time. I was so busy with all kind of things that I had no time to seek the Lord. And now it's too late. What shall that be in hell? Too late. Oh, let that be a warning for each of us. And let it come deep in our heart. The oath of that mighty angel, whose face is as the sun, whose feet are as pillars of fire, with his one feet on the sea, the other on the earth, and then swearing by him who lives forever and ever, who created heaven, earth, and sea, and all what's in it, that there should be no time that must make such a deep impression that the Lord swears, and such a heavy oath, such a deep, serious warning to use the time. Time is precious. We have no right. We are not better. Then there are 200,000, we don't know the number exactly, people who died at one day. It can come here. It can happen here. No, you say, that cannot happen here. It never happened here. Then you are deceiving yourself. There shall be no time. Time is precious. And when you found Christ today, when you repent today, when you receive peace today, when Christ is coming in your soul today, then eternity is coming in you. Eternal life. I give my sheep eternal life, eternal love, eternal joy. The foretaste here, the fullness within short time. And time is gone. Eternity is there. For what is time? It's a little piece of eternity. Not more. There shall be no time. For the Lord's people, it's a great comfort. For when you have the foretaste of heavenly joy in your heart, you can have the deepest wish, O Lord, let it stay. Let it never go away. And then there is no time. An hour feels to be a minute. There shall be no time. There shall be eternal, full enjoyment of the love of God in Christ. When drops of heaven falls in your heart now, then eternity comes in your soul. And your soul longs for eternity, to be there where is no time. Sometimes you can wish, when your heart is touched and filled and the gospel is preached with the love of Christ, that you can wish, Pastor, go on, go on, go on. There is no better place than the house of God. But it's time. We have to stop. We have to go. And we go in the fight, in the world, till the following service, from strength to strength. But what a comfort. There shall be no time. Eternal shall be your glory, shall be your joy, shall be your enjoyment, shall be your knowledge. Eternally, eternally, never, never, never ending. And that's what the Lord Jesus is swearing by God Himself, the Creator of heaven and earth. So let us feel how deep, important this word is. And let we all take it with us in our heart and life. Time is so precious, for it's the time of grace. But soon there shall be no time no longer. And then it's too late. In this short time, you must find Christ. But in the days of the voice of the seventh angel, when he shall begin to sound, the mystery of God should be finished, as he has declared to his servants, the prophets. That's coming. That's here, still hidden, in the day of the voice of the seventh angel, the last revelation. And the work of God is finished, and time is full. But it's a mystery. The mystery of God, hidden, cannot be understood. But he has declared to his servants, the prophets, he has declared, he has revealed, and they may preach it. And so the church of the living God lives in the reality of what is coming. Lives in expectation. The seventh sound, the seventh trumpet, the fullness, the end, eternity. When all the promises of God shall be fulfilled for his children, when all the judgments of the Lord shall be finished in that great day. And the voice which I heard from heaven spake unto me again and said, go and take the little book which is open in the hand of the angel which standeth upon the sea and upon the earth. You remember that the angel Christ had a little book in his hand. And in that book is the word of God. Is the eternal happiness for his people. Is terrible judgment for his enemies. For that's the main message of the whole world. The whole world. Two kinds of people, two ways, two ends. The broad way to hell. The narrow way to heaven. Cain, Abel, Jacob, Esau. It's one of the two. Peter, Judas. It's one of the two. It's all written in that little book. The ways of the Lord. The blessings of the Lord. The judgments of the Lord. The fullness of his glory and revelation. And the word must be eaten. That's a wonderful message too. And the voice which I heard from heaven, God's voice himself, spake unto me and said, go and take the little book. He didn't take it himself. He had a holy permission. There was a holy command of God himself to take the book, to hear, to understand, to feel, to experience. There's a holy command. Once the Father spoke from heaven in this world, his voice sounded, this is my beloved Son. Hear him. That's his voice. How endless terrible not to hear him. And not to eat his word. You must eat it. The little book with such a wonderful contents, with such a great message, with such a great blessing, with such a great warning. A little book. And I went into the angel and said unto him, give me the little book. He was so hungry. It's so special when people come to the church hungry. When they are not satisfied, when they hear only. But when they are only satisfied, when they eat the word. He's so hungry. Give me that little book. It's so precious. It's so attractive. The word of God. Do you recognize it? That's the people of God. That are the children of God. The word. To feel the power of it. To taste it. For when you eat, you have the taste. And you feel the strength. Therefore the Lord Jesus instituted the Holy Supper. He is the Word. The Word has become flesh. And we eat him by faith. And we eat his Word. It's the food for our soul. When our soul is living and hungry, we eat. And so the apostle, eat, take it, he said unto me, and eat it up. And it shall make thy belly bitter, but it shall be in thy mouth sweet as honey. When he tastes, eats the word, the first experience is how sweet. Sweet is the word, isn't it? Do you know the sweetness of the word? How sweet Christ is when he says to you, your sins are forgiven. When he says unto you, my peace I give unto you. When he assures you, I give you eternal life. When he closes hell for you, and he opens heaven for you. When he fills your heart with the love of God and the sureness of the Holy Spirit, you belong to me. He in me, and we in him. That's so sweet. Nothing can be compared with the sweetness of the love of God in Christ by the Holy Spirit. And the Lord works it by the word. And the word is preached, faithful. The Holy Spirit is working, and you are eating sweet, but bitter in the belly. Bitter too. For the word is not only forgiveness, it's not only peace, it's also judgment. There is not only the foretaste of heaven, there is also the fear of hell. There is the bitterness of sin. The word is sweet, in the mouth, in the belly, bitter. You read it in one of the Psalms. The David says that he is totally frightened when he looks on the judgments of the Lord. That he is trembling. What shall it be? When I look unto my children and I see them sometimes far away from the Lord. When I look to my fellow sinners, what shall it be? And when I feel I come so short, I have the desire to be holy, and yet wretched man I am. I'm so far away from it. I stumble every day so much. That's the bitterness. That's what the children of God feel. The sweetness of forgiving love. The bitterness of sin. And what's remaining of sin, and what they see looking to the people with which they live now, in peace, in one family, a brother, a sister, a husband, a wife, two shall be in one bed, one shall be accepted, and the other not, two shall work in one factory. Two shall study at one school. Lost, lost. Are we not worried about that? Is there not a bitterness and a deep compassion? So this bitterness is fruitful. It brings us to a loving warning. For the wrath of God revealed upon sin is really bitter. And he said unto me, thou must prophesy again before many peoples and nations and tongues and kings. Now you have tasted the sweetness. Now you have felt the bitterness. Now you are able to preach, to prophesy. And it happened, not physically, but the word, the revelation which the Lord Jesus gave him, the prophecy before many peoples, nations, tongues, and kings. For this warning and this message, this book, this revelation is going through the ages, is going through the world, and all what's written in it shall be fulfilled. Ask the Lord, O Lord, give me to taste, to eat thy word, and to be longing for the time that there is no time, that I am with thee in glory. That's the future for all who love the Lord. Amen. Let us pray and think now. Dear Lord, we thank thy holy name that thou came so near to us. In the revelation of thy glory, thy beauty, thy judgment, and how thy children may eat thy little book and feel and taste the sweetness in their soul and the bitterness in their belly till there is no time anymore. And all bitterness is away for all eternity, and the sweetness shall fill our whole being in glorifying thee, in perfect knowledge of thee. And that's our goal and future. O Lord, give us all grace to come at thy side, to run the race, to fight the fight, and to reach the goal. It is finished. There is the guarantee in thy finished work for all thy people. Lord, we thank thee for this word. We pray for the forgiveness of our sins also in this service. Bring us safely home and give us to be longing to thy day. Let thy word be the food of our soul. Lord, help us to seek thee with our whole heart and look upon us in Christ only. Amen.